Well, today we are going to be talking along the lines of what Butch was talking about. Isn't that interesting? I had no idea what the lesson was going to be today. And even Becky said something about it. She says something about the pain that she's in. So my message today is called, There is Purpose in Pain. There is purpose in pain. Sometimes our journey is tough on purpose. Quit blaming the devil. Please quit blaming the devil. And I'm going to show you some scriptures that's going to tell you why. In Psalm 23, David wrote that famous passage, Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through. There's that faith in action, isn't it? He's walking through something. Some of us are walking through a few things right now. Are you going to stop in the middle and turn back, or are you going to get to the other side? The Bible says, grow not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, what? If you don't faint. We were talking about prayers in the Bible study this morning, and what came to my mind over the time I've been studying for this lesson today is a lot of us have prayers that we've just kind of let dormant. You started out praying. You knew God put that in your heart to pray, but it hasn't happened. So you stopped praying. I want us to dust off those prayers today. I want you to remember that thing that God laid into your heart. I want you to dust it off and bring it to the forefront today. Because now you're going to walk through. It is painful not to see your prayers answered. But that's a part of our growth in the Lord, trusting that they will. You know, I love the promises of God. Yes and amen. I don't see God say no anywhere. When we were talking about the people that didn't see the fulfilled promise, they didn't give up. They didn't see it, but they didn't give up. They kept going. And the descendants got to see the promises. So don't you give up on your prayers. Maybe your children is going to get that. I have a friend that was singing. She just wanted to be a singer. She was a beautiful singer. And I says, well, you know, maybe your children are going to be blessed by your prayer. Oh, no, no, no. I'm going to see it. I am going to have it. She totally just cast that off. She passed away. She didn't get to see the fulfillment of that dream. But her children are now fulfilling that. So sometimes we're going to keep praying no matter what, aren't we? So I want you to go out, go find that prayer journal that you started 10 years ago. Dust off those prayers and walk with the Lord. Though you walk through that valley. It's a valley when you don't see your prayers answered. Luke 4:1. Here's a big one. People don't remember Luke 4:1. Luke 4:1, and it says this about Jesus. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Ooh, he was full of the Holy Ghost. It was in him. Returned from Jordan and was led by that Spirit into the wilderness. How many of you feel like you're in the wilderness today? Some of us are plowing through the wilderness. If Jesus is going to be led by the Spirit into the wilderness, it is guaranteed you will too, because we're not greater than our Master. And then there's another person in the Bible, the prodigal son, you know, the kid that went wayward. He had a protected home. He left it, destroyed his life. He did it to himself. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about things that we do to ourselves. He knew, though, if he returned, he would be protected again. And then we have Job. In Job 13:15, it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So he's walking through life. He's sitting there with boils all over his body. People are yelling at him, telling him to curse God and die. His best friends lost everything. And yet he says, I'm still going to trust God in the midst of this. Now, is that a person with faith? Now, is that how we're going to live our lives, that kind of faith? When I married my husband, I went into another room. He was talking to my mother. And my mother reached over to him and said, do you have the patience of Job? Yeah, exactly. You got it.
I didn't know what she meant at first.
And about 3 weeks later, he comes into the kitchen and he goes, "What is wrong with you?" And now, of course, 31 years later, we did make it through those tough times. But there's that patience that we get when we go through something. The Bible says in James 1, it says that, you know, we have to have patience, because it'll work all these things in our lives. Patience is what gives us what we need. Waiting on God with patience gives us what we need. How about Jonah? I'm only going to name a few here, and then I'm going to get into what I really want to talk about. Jonah, okay, here's Jonah. He didn't want to do what God told him. What happened? He got in big trouble, didn't he? He got eaten by a fish. And what's really cool about it is God prepared that fish to swallow him. So what's God doing in our lives? Is he preparing something in your life to swallow you up? There's a purpose in the pain. He did eventually come around, though, didn't he? And he went right back and did what he was told to do in the first place. So God did this to Jonah. If you read Jonah chapters 1:1-3, and chapters 2:3, it talks about Jonah and how he disobeyed, but then he turned around and said, "I repent from the bellies of the well." Now, where are we? Are we in the belly of a well anywhere? Are you? It's like Becky says. She said God told her to just praise me. We need to praise God in the belly of the well. And that's how Jonah got out. He began to praise God and thank God, and he was spit out. I think if we would just get on the board at the beginning, we won't have to be in the belly of the well 3 days, 10 days, 15 days, 25 days. We can get out a whole lot quicker if we just cooperate with God and see what it is he's trying to tell us to do. I remember going to a restaurant once, and this guy was sitting in the corner, and God told me, "Go tell him I love him." I don't know. So I sat down at the booth. "I'll tell him after I order my food." So I began to tell the waitress what I wanted. And I heard the Lord say, "Go tell the man that I love him." And I go, "I'll tell him after I eat." After I eat. The next thing I know, I'm sitting in my car crying. "I forgot to tell him. I didn't tell him. I was afraid I didn't tell him." I was in tears. It tore me up. I didn't tell him. I said, "God, give me another chance." Well, I guess he did, because 2 weeks later, I went back into that restaurant, and there's that same guy sitting in that booth. I didn't hesitate. I went straight over, and I said, "God loves you." It took that, though. It took that to do it, though. It took me my disobedience. Just like Jonah, I was going to end up doing it eventually. And here's another one before I get into my Israelites stories and sagas. Here is something maybe you don't even know about in the Bible. It says in Isaiah 53:10. Isaiah 53:10, it says this: "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus." Wow. If it pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus, in another version it says to crush him. Because he knew what the end result was going to be. He knew Jesus was going to save the world. So maybe you're feeling under something, maybe pressured or crushed. You know what? Just start to praise him. Just like Becky said, praise him in that pain. What does the workout people say? No pain, no gain. I like to say it this way: it hurts so good. So we're going to take a look at the Israelites really quickly.
I don't hear you saying it hurts so good.
Now they were led by the devil into the wilderness. They were led by God into the wilderness. They didn't see that it was a good thing, because they saw all the stuff that wasn't good. They were not happy about the process. They were in pain. And they stopped believing. Psalm 106:25 says, "But they murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord." So when, like Butch was saying, we need to obey God, but what he wants us to do, not what we think is good for us to do. But when the Israelites were wandering around, it wasn't all that bad. They didn't have any worn out clothes. Matter of fact, here today, my shoe broke. It just broke. I tucked it back in and kept on going. That's faith. Right? I'm just moving right along. I didn't grumble. I didn't complain. Yesterday, I was doing something in the house, and I hit this pencil sharpener, and it was full. So the little dusty things went everywhere. And I just looked at it, I'll take care of you later. And I moved on to my merry way, and I took care of it later. Tom came in and cleaned it up for me. He did. So here's a song that people sing. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. How many of you are singing that song? Woe is me. So here's what I wanted to leave with you. The Lord allows you to go into trouble to keep you out of trouble. Do you know that? And that's what I want to tell you with this story in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29:4-10. It's when the Israelites were told they were going to go into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years. Oh, not again. Another thing we have to go through. It was God's will and it was God's plan to keep them out of trouble. He put them in bondage to keep them out of trouble. I have to say that again. He put them into bondage. God did, not the devil, to keep them out of trouble. It was God's plan to prosper them during this time. It was a time of peace. And we said earlier, when I had mentioned it, that peace is a time to grow. They started to multiply. They started having children. They built houses. They had crops. They were eating well in bondage under King Nebuchadnezzar. But what happened to a remnant of them? They go, oh no, we need to go back to Egypt. God warned them, hey, I'm going to burn up Egypt. You go back there, you're going to die with them. That's exactly what happened. A remnant went and were killed in Egypt. But those that were under bondage were protected. Get that. You're in bondage right now. You're feeling the pressure. There's something happening in your house. There's something happening with the world around us. The smoke coming in, everything else. We feel like we're being trapped. No, God's keeping you safe. God is keeping us safe. In this time, there was a prophet, Hananiah, who told the people, oh, you're only going to be in captivity for 2 years. Doesn't that sound better? Sounded like he was right on. Well, guess what happened to him? He ended up dying because he lied and he let the people believe that lie. A lot of us want to hear the easy way. We don't want to go through the hard time. We don't want to. It hurts too hard. It's just too much. I can't do it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. See what happens when we're in that? We're fearing. We're fearing something bad's about to happen. The shoe's going to drop. We get to choose. Do we want to choose? What's that? You take the high road and I'll take the low road. So we have a choice which road we're going to take. Are we going to take the road kicking and screaming with God? Or are we going to walk with him? Though I walk through. Sometimes we're listening to the wrong words because we want our way. We want the easy way. We get derailed in our derailment. And things just keep rolling, getting worse and worse and worse. Pretty soon you're going, you don't even know how it started in the first place. Jeremiah 25:7, it says, ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. In other words, you're doing it to yourself. Just do what I ask you to do. Abraham, he did what God asked him to do. Noah, he did what God asked him to do. And they were saved every one of them. Jeremiah was later thrown into prison. He was in bondage in a dungeon. They threw him down a hole. You had to pull him up with ropes. Because he said, thus says the Lord, you're going to be in bondage for 70 years. They did not like it. Maybe these trials are keeping you from harm. You ever read that book, Hinds Feet in High Places, by Hannah Hernard? It's one of my favorite books. It's an allegory of being with Jesus, walking through the mountains and the valleys. It is a great book for faith building. Sometimes we are taken into this wilderness on purpose. Allow God to work through our difficulties. Stop the kicking and the screaming. You know, a lot of people said, yeah, I've been walking with the Lord for 25 years. No, you've been walking with me for 2 years. The first 3 years, you've been dragged. It's not the devil attacking at all, people. Sometimes he does. He gets to our thinking. He only can attack us on what we think about what's happening. God does the orchestrating of the circumstances. He brings you in and out because based upon our heart. He goes, oh, that person needs a little shading here, so let me just send them there for a little while so we can clean that up. That's all this world is. It's a giant obstacle course, the way I look at it. We're going to get some high lows, times. We're going to get some low. We're going to go under something. We're going to go around. But with God, all things are possible, and we do it all with the Lord. Has he ever left us? No. He says, though you make your bed in hell, I will be with you. God is a GPS. You make a mistake, he doesn't hit you on the head and say, dummy, you went the wrong way. No, he just sends you on forward to another way to get back to where you need to go. He will find you. You know, the whole world is like a big map. Okay, I have this map. I wanted to show you. Of course, here's one of my displays. I got to show you one of these. Greg, you want to come up and hold this up for me, please? See, God isn't just having you go through a bunch of stuff and not knowing what's happening. Okay, hold that side. God sees everything at one time. Okay, like a big map. This is the United States. Let's say I'm starting here. Hold it up a little higher, Greg. Yeah. So let's say I'm starting here, and I'm going to go this way, but God wants me over here. He already knows if I go this way, what's going to happen. He already knows if I go this way, what's going to happen. He already knows. It's like a big map to him. That's why he already knows. So he wants us to be able to follow his lead, and that will take us to where our destination is. I had an idea of a map on how we go like this, and he goes like this, and it just wasn't going to work today. It was just too much. There's a lot going on with the Lord.
Yes.
Because we'll go in one direction, and he'll go, okay, let's go to the right because they're going to go in a bad place. And so that's what he does. Isn't that what life is, a big obstacle course? Thank you. So I just wanted to show you that God is in charge of the map of your life. He knows if you go left where you're going to end up and why he has to bring you to here to bring you back to where you need to be. I'm sure God is exhausted. I mean, look how much he has to work with us. But he loves us that much to do that. Mark 16:18 says, no deadly thing will in any ways harm us. Let no fear be on you in your journey. If you're fearing, then you're not being made perfect in God's love. You need to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm not receiving your love right now. I'm in fear. And he will cast it out. Remember last week I talked about the Lord's hand is outstretched still. No matter what you're going through, his hand is always by your side. It is not short that it cannot heal, Isaiah 59:1-2. And I love Psalm 121. I look towards the hills from where comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord. God sees the whole picture. See, when the Israelites were going back to Egypt, some of them were leaving. He goes, you know, I already saw what's going to happen to them if they go there. That's why he doesn't let us do certain things. He wants us, He wants us to experience life, and he wants us to know what his will is, but we're not going to get it always all right, are we? I make a few mistakes, but a GPS again will re-correct me, will send me this way and that way. That's how much he cares. All things work for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. So here's my quote, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If it hasn't worked out yet, it's not the end yet. Don't give up on your prayers. Don't give up on your hope. Don't give up. Be not weary in well-doing. And we have to remember that scripture. It's not just in there just to look at and skim over. It is a true word of God telling you, do not be weary in well-doing. During that trial, during that season, don't complain. You know, I love what Joyce Meyer says sometimes. I listened to her many, many moons ago, not anymore, but she says, to complain means to remain. The more you complain, the more you get tested in that. Again, we're doing it to ourselves. Let's get on board with God and find out what it is he wants us to do and then get past that thing. Are we going through something that is like it's dragging on? Why don't you just stop and ask God, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? We don't. We try to figure out how to fix it. Just say, Lord, what is it you're trying to tell me? So I've been working in my yard. This was several years ago. And I had these big rocks, these boulders that I had to move because I wanted to make a garden. So I went to pick one up and I heard that big old snap going in my back. It went rip. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It went rip. Oh, okay. Now I'm going to be down for 2 to 3 weeks. I just know it. And I heard the Lord say, what were you just thinking when you picked up that rock? Oh. There was a conversation I had with somebody that I needed to forgive. Unforgiveness was in my heart while I was picking up that rock. So I said, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I forgive them. I never had another issue with my back with that rock. And it was serious. I knew what happened. But unforgiveness was connected to that pain. And we talked about unforgiveness last week, and I'll always talk about it because that is huge in life today. We have to walk in forgiveness with one another. Be a forgiving person. That's a lifelong person. That's always forgiving. Overlooking the slow driver in front of you. Overlooking the neighbor that cut down your most favorite tree. In conclusion about Paul, 2 Timothy 3:10 through 12 says this, but you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Can you receive that for you today? Out of all your persecutions, out of all your suffering, out of all your longing, out of all the prayers that have not been answered, can you say that? That Lord is going to deliver you out of them all. If you grow not weary in well-doing, if you need support, there's people all around that will pray with you. Do not give up on those prayers. He will surely deliver us. We need to look for the blessing in the pain. There's a song, and I just love it. It's by, what's her name? Story. Let me see where it is. I have it written down. Laura Story, Blessings in Disguise. Isn't that a cool song? It says this. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your blessings in disguise? What if? I believe that's true. I believe that everything that happens to us is to get us to know him better, to get us to serve the Lord Jesus with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. If you don't have those things, you better just say, Lord, I need you. That's the best prayer anybody could say is, Lord, I need you. And you can say that as a Christian. God's ways are higher and greater, and all to help us live, to help us thrive. Why don't you stand and I'll pray, and then we'll take the offering. So Father, thank you so much for this message of hope, a message of truth that'll help us to shake off some of those old prayers that we're growing weary about. And Father, that your hand would lead us and guide us into this truth about your answer to these prayers are yes and amen. Even though we might not see the promise, let us not give up on our prayers. Let us not give up on the hope. Let us stay in faith to the moment you take us to be with you, Lord. Let us be an example. Let us be a light in the community. Thank you, Father, for already doing that, bringing people in already, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this. And your power and your presence is marvelous, beyond greater than anything we can ask, hope, or dream of. Father, be with every heart as you go out today with them. You are with them. And as they identify those areas in their life that they have just put off to the side, that you would bring them back to the forefront of their mind and walk with them through that valley. Let them look at the blessings in that trial, in that pain. Because, Lord, it hurts so good. And we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.